Hi, this is Southside Johnny from the Asbury Jukes. You're listening to Dave Hoekstra, Nocturnal Journal on WGN AM 720, Chicago, Illinois.
Dan, I think I made it. That's really something. Thanks to Southside Johnny. So thanks for listening. We're back with segment two. We've kept Dale Wiley on from Crane, Missouri, and he joins our guest Nora Barton and Billy Howard. We're going to have some music here in a minute. But I wanted to get all three together because I wanted to talk about Moondog, who's from your neck of the woods, Dale. Now, I knew a little bit about Moondog and Alan Freed. You can talk about that. But then you and I were sitting in the bleachers in St. Louis, and you start talking about this statue or something they want to do for Moondog. And then Nora's talking to Nora and the 100th anniversary of his birth. So why don't you talk a little bit about Moondog in Missouri, and then we'll talk about what you guys...
Okay, well, I want to do a statue. I don't know if anybody else in the world wants to, but I sure want to do a 10-foot tall Moondog statue.
And tell us who Moondog was.
Moondog was a very famous, especially for that era, experimental, kind of progressive composer. And he became famous in the early 50s. He was blind, and he got blind when he was in Missouri in a little town called Hurley, an even smaller town than my little town.
How far is Hurley from Crane?
Like 7 minutes. Okay. And, I mean, it is truly one stretch of road with a high school, and that's all it is. And he was playing with a blasting cap and ended up blinding himself and then went to Kansas. He used to spell Kansas backwards, and that's where he would describe that he was from. And then he went to New York, became very famous, was a fixture of New York scene. He was homeless, but he was also known by Benny Goodman, by Charles Mingus, by he was good friends with Charlie Parker. One of his most famous songs was about him. And he recorded an album with Julie Andrews. I mean, he had a really interesting career.
And the Moondog Coronation Ball, didn't Alan Freed kind of take that from him? The story I heard once was that Moondog sued him, and then Benny Goodman helped testify, and he got some money, right?
Yeah, he did. He got $6,000 for doing that. And it was a factor in changing Alan Freed's career, but he would call himself the King of the Moondoggies. And obviously Moondog had been using his name for several years. He had kind of had one period of fame already and then would have another in the late 60s when Janis Joplin recorded a song and a number of those things.
Nora, now you're a Moondog fan.
Yes.
Nora Barton.
Yes.
And so you were talking about, a lot of Moondog fans outside. So 100th anniversary of his birth this year. Would you like to do something? Is there a concert?
Another thing. I would like to hold a Moondog concert to celebrate. His birthday did already pass. It was May 26th. But, we have another however many months to go. I think there was a celebration concert in Copenhagen and maybe in Philadelphia, I think. If there's anyone out there that wants to help me put that together, one of the difficulties is getting a hold of the music for players to play. At least I know there was some of the early stuff is purely percussive, which probably doesn't require much notation. Uh-huh. But some of the later stuff is like beautiful string arrangements and vocal melodies, and it'd be great to get a big group together to do that.
I was in a record store in Portland on my travels, and I think, did someone do a tribute record? I think someone might have done a tribute record, like an indie label. I think I picked it up, but yeah.
I haven't heard of that, but we were actually talking about how the type of music that he did, number one, it's not some sort of ununderstandable thing. It sounds like that, but it's not. But actually, it gets a lot of samples. And right now, he's in a lot of like the trip-hop, electronica type stuff because it just lends itself to that. So he's actually kind of having a comeback.
He got a little bounce. Didn't Janis Joplin cover one of his songs? All His Loneliness?
Yeah. I mean, he's had little things go on all the way through,
Do you know, what was his real name?
Louis Harden.
Louis Harden.
And his other nickname after all the years in New York on the street was the Viking of Sixth Avenue, because he would wear this outrageous Viking helmet and a cloak, and he'd have some of his homemade instruments all on display. He'd be either sometimes just standing there, perhaps in protest for whatever, sometimes performing his music. And yeah, this also gained the attention of some of the other composers during that time.
I mean, he was really well known, and he was a big fan of Stanislavski, right? And there was also some, you know, goings on between them. It's very funny to me to think about my grandma went to high school with him, and to think about them being the same age, as completely opposite as you could imagine two people being. But yeah, they both went to Hurley High School.
And how long was he in the area, Missouri, Kansas area?
Well,
he going to go to New York young?
He went back to Kansas after he went blind. And he had a couple of years there where he got some instructions from some different things and actually learned to transcribe things in Braille and do some other things. And so it really wasn't until about 42 that he went to New York.
It's a fascinating story. Really? And you want to do a statue.
Well,
we should make a bet. Who gets done first, your statue or my documentary?
Or my concert.
Yeah, or your concert. Right, yeah, yeah.
So we could have the concert to start raising the money.
Any agents can call all of us.
I want a 10-foot-tall Viking. I want him in the New York garb. And, you know, actually one of my friends, Kelly Knauer, who we talked about, he lived in New York all during that period, and he'd say you just walk. He was just the most recognizable thing on the street, and there he was just walking down Sixth Avenue.
See, this is what we're talking about. We're trying to. We spent a lot of money and time on it. We've been doing a documentary on the region down there for several years, and when Lou was still alive, we got Merle Haggard. But there's so much. There's weird, and you're from there. There's a weird spirit that goes on down there.
Oh, there are just there are just so many things about every little town there, and you've got Leon Rausch that was the second singer of the Bob Wills thing, and then Don Johnson, the actor, was from Crane, and all these other little interesting people that kind of have connections just to kind of a cultural thing down there. And then, you know, there was also Thomas Hart Benton and some of those people that we ended up talking about all the connections, because he would come down there and sketch and take pictures of some of the local musicians, or, you know, draw pictures of some of them.
You guys got to go. We had him on the show, actually, and we shot some footage. Tell him about the Luttrell Auction Barn. This is great. I mean, it's just like the old, you guys are too young, but like the old Sundowners Double R Ranch over here in the Loop and stuff. It's really, really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there are just all these little places that still have kind of authentic little things that they do with musicians that kind of transcend the generations. And, you know, I mean, it really lends itself to, I mean, that's just, that's
these old cats.
Venue.
Yeah, they play in an auction barn on Saturday night. Yeah, Lloyd Hicks is a drummer often.
And some of them, you know, played on records in the 50s and 60s and really, you know, stretch all the way back there to when Mother Maybelle Carter, basically one of the founders of country music, and her daughters came in the early 50s because they were starting to do a TV show from there. And then that's when, you know, Chet Atkins, all these other people started really in Springfield and not in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. It was like one of the first music, you know, because of the Ozark Jubilee and the radio station.
Right.
And Cy Simon and stuff.
Right.
So do you know, in Chicago, are there any other Moondog aficionados? Are you kind of...
Yeah, I'm at... No. If there are, my apologies. Please reach out and... Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's form an association.
Yeah. Right.
Let's talk.
The spirit of Alan Freed, too.
There you go.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Thanks so much, Dale.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming in. Let's stay in touch.
DaleWiley.com. And I was told to say it's Forest Park, not Hyde Park. I screwed that up. I said the wrong thing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, centuries in solution.
And Dale, go Cubs. It's going to be a great year for us. And we'll be back with Nora Barton and Billy Howard after this break. Thank you. Wow. That was awesome. That's Nora Barton on cello and Billy Howard on violin. And that was an improvisational piece? I mean, tell us what we were listening to.
Well, before we started, Nora and I play together a lot. And before we started tonight, we were thinking, what do we like? What sounds do we like today? So,
is that really how it works? Like that much in the moment? Like, what do you like today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was saying, like, I really like Nora when you do that pizzicato thing through delay. So we decided to start off.
Now, what is that? I mean, what's the pizzicato thing?
Pizzicato is when you pluck the instrument.
Yeah.
And then I have a delay pedal. So that's what
made
the
echo.
I wasn't playing G, 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 G. I played G. And then the delay pedal takes care of the rest.
So, you know, I don't know anything. This is really interesting to me because we always have country music and soul singers and blues guys. So how do you, I mean, is this classical? Is this jazz? I mean, how do you describe what you guys do?
It's kind of in the experimental category. Yeah, like, and we do some what's called extended technique, which is where you get away from the classical way of playing the instrument and make non-traditional sounds with it. And like the scratchy sounds or slapping the string and things like that.
And how old is that method, that approach? Is that a new approach or has that approach been around a while?
It's fairly old. Like,
yeah, it's been around.
Yeah.
I guess it started making its way into like actual compositions back in the
50s. Probably the 50s, yeah.
Yeah.
Because when we were talking about, I mean, I don't know, I don't really have any reference points. I mean, we were talking about Moondog. I know Philip Glass was a Moondog. Is it kind of moving that direction a little bit?
Yeah, like we also brought a piece that we might play later today by a composer named Earl Brown. And the piece we have was written in 1954. And the pieces you were just talking about Moondog were also...
Yeah, same time, but very, very different sounding. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, how'd you guys get into it? I mean, I told you we were going to go into root stuff. So, Billy, you're from Montana originally?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
What part of Montana?
I was born in Butte. I grew up in Ennis, and then I moved to Bozeman.
Bozeman.
So.
Yeah. And how long have you been to the Sip and Dip Lounge?
No, but I saw that you just talked about the Sip and Dip, and my dad recently moved in the last couple of years to a tiny town called Cascade, about 20 minutes from Great Falls. So I was like, Piano Pat.
Yeah, Piano Pat's great. So when did you come to Chicago?
I came about 15 years ago to do my master's degree at Northwestern, and then I got a job and stayed, and it's just great to be in a city as a musician. There's so many opportunities. And that's sort of how I got into doing new music like this, is that Nora and I both got asked to play some experimental concerts early on. And then out of that, this new music group called Aperiodic was formed. And our friend Nomi Epstein is the curator and director. And she programs all these pieces like post John Cage.
Yeah.
And it really got us into this kind of scene.
Was there music around the house when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. I was raised on classical music, but then my dad was also really into jazz and rock and roll, but mostly classical for me. But once I got older, like I'm really into metal and really loud, distorted sounds.
Yeah, I have friends who are in the metal, and they always make the connection between classical and metal. Can you actually talk about that?
Well, I guess I'm into kind of an odd section of metal. I'm into doom metal, which is really slow and sludgy, which is less technical than maybe traditional metal. So I guess what I like about it is how loud it is and slow, and it just really takes over everything around you, so you don't really have a chance to think about other things.
It very much lends itself to string instruments too, because we can just play the bow and just make it last forever for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between kind of, maybe sounds like an obvious question, but when you're playing acoustic and quiet, and then you on strings you go full out with full of amplification and stuff.
What's the question?
What to play amplified? Like really loud.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's fun. A lot of classically trained musicians don't get into that because it's the opposite of what they're trained to do.
Right, right.
Which is basically everything that we played just now was probably the opposite of what, you know, you're trained to do in your private lesson. You go and you play a little too close to the bridge during the wrong part and you're going to get yelled at.
Because it's too scratchy.
Left with the yardstick. Yeah. Wow.
So I guess playing loud and that it's more of a way of self-expression for me, at least, rather than playing classical music feels very, the world is very perfection oriented. So it's hard to get to the point where you feel like you're playing well enough that you can then express yourself, because at least for me, I'm always so worried about every little thing playing classical music. Whereas when you're playing rock music, usually you're playing with other people, and if you want to stop playing, the rest of the band will have your back. Uh-huh. If you want to take a solo or add something, usually they just go with it. So,
have you played with rock bands? Or
Like anybody
we know? Or
I think you know Bobby Kahn.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I played keys and violin with Bobby Kahn, and I was in a band for a long time called The Paver. And also an all-female girl group Chicago. Nora played with them a few times, too. They were like a 20-plus piece cover band that did girl group songs from the 60s.
Where did I miss that? What were they called?
They were just called Girl Group Chicago.
Really?
Yep.
Hideout.
Oh, played at Main Stage.
I'm pretty busy with too busy with the show. We're going to take a break for the David Jennings in the news. We'll be back with more of this fascinating music, so don't go away on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. That's excellent stuff. I could see those truck drivers in Montana going, what happened to the chickens and the roosters?
Yeah, sorry, we probably lost you some listeners.
Yeah, that's Nora Barton on cello and Billy Howard on violin. I mean, I'm really impressed. Now, again, explain what you did there.
So that was the Earl Brown piece I had mentioned earlier. It's called Four Systems, written January 20th, 1954. And it's he notates it as four different lines of separate lines and thicknesses.
Oh, my goodness.
Based on pitch and loudness or texture.
Also called a graphic score.
Yeah, so it's a graphic score rather than like notes on a staff.
And the only directions on the score read, may be played in any sequence, either side up at any tempo or E tempi. The continuous lines from far left to far right define the outer limits of the keyboard or whatever instrument you're playing. Thickness of each marking may indicate dynamics or clusters.
Which is like how loud or how many notes you're playing at a time.
Uh-huh. Or in our case, also texture. Like I would play a little crunchier when it was a thicker bar.
Wow. How'd you guys meet?
About 7 years ago.
Yeah.
For a gig at the North Dearborn Avenue Association Garden Walk.
Really?
They started hiring musicians to play in the gardens, and I was hired, and I needed to find a duet partner. And somehow, I don't remember how, but I was given Billy Howard's name. And that was our first play date.
Is the community? Tell us about the community. I mean, this is a world, like I said, I don't know much about.
The music community?
Yeah, the experimental music community. I have two questions. How big is it? And also, like, about live, where can people hear this live? Are you still doing the Classical Revolution Chicago?
I am doing Classical Revolution.
Yeah, tell us how people can explore and find out about this.
About Classical Revolution?
Yeah, and the music we're hearing tonight. Yeah.
Sure. Well, Classical Revolution meets every second Sunday of the month at Jerry's Sandwiches in Wicker Park. Actually, our next one is tomorrow night. It's 7 o'clock. It's free. Everyone is welcome to come out. If you're a musician, you want to play, we'll have music. You can sort through. You can meet people and play whatever you want. We'll have, you know, an open floor, basically.
You say it's basically an open mic night for classical musicians.
Open mic night. Yeah, right. And of course, listeners are welcome too. Non-musicians are always welcome. And then as far as experimental community goes,
it's very big and very active in Chicago. Like it's kind of new classical music or contemporary music. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of ensembles that have been doing very well, performing a lot, performing very frequently. The one we're in is called Aperiodic. But there's other ones such as Mocrep or Dal Niente or Spectral Quartet.
Phonema
Consort.
Mm-hmm. Chicago Composers Orchestra also does a lot of new music.
Yeah,
all living composers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And venues for this?
Constellation, which is on Western. There's a Sunday night series called the Frequency Series. So any Sunday night, come to Constellation, you'll hear... Maybe not something like this, but maybe. They also bring in a lot of touring musicians. And then Elastic Arts, mm-hmm. also in Logan Square.
And Experimental Sound Studio up in Ravenswood.
Mm-hmm. When you guys met, I mean, were you, no pun intended, were you on the same wavelength? I mean, did you learn from each other? How did you share ideas? And how did you come to what we're hearing tonight is a collaboration?
I think I learned, that was when Billy was playing with the Paver. And I think I sat in with them a few times and was like, yeah, like heavy metal, like string stuff. That was really, really great. But unfortunately, at the time, it wasn't going to be possible for me. I had way too much going on.
Yeah, we asked her to join.
Yeah, and it didn't work out. But I much prefer being a fan. And then as far as the experimental stuff, we mentioned Nomi Epstein earlier. She's the curator for Aperiodic Ensemble. And I had taken a course from her at Roosevelt. I was there for graduate school, and I studied. I took a class called Notation and Meaning with Nomi, and I think from there I started. She asked me to play a few times, and that was right after I met Billy. So the three of us got together and joined we made a group called NBN Trio: Nomi, Billy, Nora.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and we played a lot of the same stuff.
Except for what we do with NBN Trio is not amplified, and it's very quiet and very sparse. So,
When it started, I think we played, didn't we play actual compositions? And then from there we moved into improvisations.
We would go through scores like this Earl Brown piece, for example, mm-hmm. or any other score that we just felt like we wanted to try. And then realized, oh, we could actually do this. So
on our own.
Yeah.
Are there recordings? Do you guys have?
Actually, we just recorded at Experimental Sound Studio, and we'll have a CD coming out soon. We have a website, nbntrio.tumblr.com, where we have samples up.
When's your CD coming out?
Next few months.
Soon.
Yeah. Same questions for you, Nora. I know you a little bit. Thanks for coming down and helping set this up. But tell us where you're from originally and musical roots in your family.
Sure. I grew up just up here by Wrigley Field. And then my mom got a job down at University of Kentucky. So we moved down to Lexington when I was 10. And then from there, I went to school to conservatory in Cincinnati. And then found myself back up here for grad school at Roosevelt.
And when did you come to Chicago, roughly?
Back to Chicago. 2007 or so.
And what was the music scene like, and how'd you get into it?
Good question. I'm trying to think back.
You played in some bands, too. Aggressive, but...
Yeah, I played in a rock band called John Drake and the Shakes. And we had a great little run, maybe 5 years. That might be too long. Felt like 5 or 6 years. And then from there, I started branching out a little bit more. But that was purely a rock band. And that was while I was still studying. So might have been balancing a little too much for grad school. From there, I started getting more into the experimental genres.
Was there music around the house when you were growing up?
Oh, sure. I started playing piano when I was really young. My dad was a guitar player. My mom played piano. My dad was a rock musician, so we had rock music on all the time, as well as folk music growing up in Kentucky. And then I started cello in fourth grade, because down in Lexington, we had fantastic music programs for public schools. And so that really helped jumpstart. You know, I joined youth orchestra in sixth grade, and it's just the best thing. The best thing.
Couple reference points. I think our listeners will know. You worked with James McCartney.
I did. I played on his latest record called The Blackberry Train, and I played with local violinist Susan Vaz and Vanya Phillips and Inger. Inger Rich.
I don't know her, so I can't help And Mooka Paz, tell us about Mooka Paz.
Yeah, I joined Mooka a couple years ago. They've been around for about 10 years. Circus punk marching band.
Tell us about Mooka. Yeah, yeah. I want to get them in the studio. I'd like to get, remember one time we talked about get them in the studio. That'd be fun. How many pieces?
There's about 30 active members right now.
Well, you did a Tiny Desk concert, didn't you?
We did do a Tiny Desk. I think about 20 to 25 people on the stage at the Tiny Desk concert up in D.C. with Bob Boylan.
Yeah.
About 20, 25 people on stage at any time. I'm one of the freaks, which means I do not belong in a marching band. So I am tethered to an amp most of the time, but we do wear speaker helmets so we can walk around and... and yes, I do march with the cello. I have a guitar strap and yeah.
And are there any shows of that coming up?
Sure. So we're going on tour later this month. We'll be in Iowa City. Where is it? Iowa City on August 26th and Asheville, North Carolina on August 27th. And then here in Glen Ellen at the Lakeside Pavilion on August 30th. I think it's a Wednesday at noon.
You know who'd really love you? You guys should book yourself at the Iowa State Fair. That'd be
great.
I could see you going down the Midway and stuff.
Yeah. Made for it.
Right before the Kiss concert next week. tell us about Bobby Kahn, too. I mean, again, tell our listeners who Bobby Kahn is, and you've both worked with Bobby Kahn. Have you worked with him together or separately?
I think both, a little bit. Yeah,
more Billy than myself.
Yeah, Bobby's... kind of a glam rock
legend,
Chicago legend, writes political, very sharp, but very catchy pop songs, and has this great onstage persona, very charismatic. I had the pleasure of playing in his band when a few years ago when the David Bowie exhibit was at the MCA. We covered the entire Station to Station album, so that was really fun. I got to play keyboards for that. And we always wear costumes of some sort, so we often it's like we're all in red Adidas tracksuits, or we're all dressed up as sailors, or sometimes they say like green or like spacey. And you have to, you just come and have fun.
Yeah. How did you find him, or did he find you?
Well, actually, it was through Girl Group Chicago. His wife, her moniker is Monica Boo-Boo. She's the violinist. She was playing in Girl Group, and she was like, we need a keyboardist for this Bobby Khan show coming up. Will you play? So then I got to play, and then we needed a cellist. And I was like, well, Nora, of course, has to come in. So.
Does he still live around here?
Yeah. Humboldt Park.
Humboldt Park.
Yeah, we just played at the Empty Bottle like last week. And I think we're playing at the Co-Prosperity Spear on August 26th, if you want to come out.
Yeah, that's a great space. They've been real good to us for our books. Does Bobby Khan ever come to feed?
Yeah, they do. Yep. Bunch of regulars. The whole family comes
feed
out.
Feed in Humboldt Park. Yeah. All right, can you do one more song? This
sure.
is great stuff. So we're going to do one more song here after a break on WGN's Nocturnal Journal. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. That's Nora Barton on cello and Billy Howard on violin. Billy, tell us what that was.
So we thought we'd play something a little more traditional to finish it up. That was Traumerei by Robert Schumann.
And you guys, do you do weddings and stuff?
Oh, yes.
Is that...
we play in orchestras and, yeah.
I mean, what's it like to play so many different styles? I mean, it must keep you alive. I mean, we didn't even talk about you. Did you record with Lee DeWise?
Yes,
American Idol winner?
Yeah,
I mean, you're the only guest that's ever probably worked with Lee DeWise and Bobby Khan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lee had a couple tunes that they wanted, what was it? They wanted Dave Matthews Band style violin, so I just came in and improvised for a couple days, and then they added it. Yeah.
Same question for you, Nora. I mean, what's it like just to move from styles to style, and what does it do for your mind and your creativity? And
yeah, it definitely keeps things interesting. The tricky part comes when you want to keep your classical chops up. That's what takes the most time and the most effort. But if you can do that, you know, and you keep your mind open, you can do any other style pretty well. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's strange. I don't know. That's how
I
feel.
You can do your best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy, you teach?
Yes, I primarily teach piano. Yeah, at Concordia University, I teach in their preparatory program. So I teach the youth of tomorrow, or the youth of today. Yeah. I don't know. the stars of tomorrow.
And Nora, same thing. Do you mentor any?
I do. I teach at Music House Chicago down at the Humboldt Park branch. I have a small studio. I try to keep it keeps things open for
Nora yeah. has more fun than I do. She gets to go on tour and
well,
stuff.
Yeah, so I have about six or seven students.
What are the questions? I mean, what questions do kids ask you about music and the style of music you're teaching them?
They don't ask questions. Yeah. That's what I want more questions.
Exactly.
So all you kiddies, make a list.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do they... What are they listening to? And does that come into their playing?
Ariana Grande.
Yeah, they listen to a lot of pop music. Well, I primarily teach piano, and I think the questions I get the most are just how the piano works. And a lot of them don't have a grand piano at home, so in the studio they're like, what are those hammers? What are the strings? And they want to do that sort of thing. And I indulge them sometimes, and I let them play inside the piano, like modern music, which maybe I shouldn't, but they love that.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah, yeah, same thing with cello. You get a little excited, and you teach them how to play harmonics and glissandos and stuff, and then you can't turn them back around.
I mean, the experimental stuff, it knocked me out. It was really...
Oh, good.
What about, I mean, like, crossover, like, going back to live venues, have you played the Hideout? I mean, some of the venues you mentioned, I know, but I mean, it'd be great to... cross this over? You play crossover? I mean, I'm calling the Hideout a crossover.
Yes,
venue. Maybe it's not, but you know, I mean,
Billy's getting married at the Hideout.
Yeah.
Are
yeah.
you really?
In October.
Yeah. Really.
We know it well.
Yeah. We love the Hideout.
Yeah. I mean, so when you play these other, I mean, I guess what I'm asking you is the audience. I mean, when you play a crossover event, venue, do you get cultivate newer audiences?
Yes. It's nice to, well, that's the nice thing about playing different styles of music is, you meet so many different people, other musicians, but also the audience is so different. They're all often very sullen at the experimental music concerts, but if I'm playing with a country band at the Hideout, I have a blast.
And the cool thing about these venues in Chicago is like venues like the Hideout, for example, are open to like every genre.
They actually they have an experimental series once a Wednesday every month called Resonance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. They have everything, which is really, really great.
Are there pockets? I'm sure there's stuff like, I mean, are there pockets where this is hot right now? I'm sure there's a lot going on in New York, Seattle.
I think London, and I think Chicago is actually really big right now with the amount of ensembles we have doing
Berlin.
Right.
Yeah.
How many are in Chicago ensembles?
Ooh, I feel like at least. Maybe like a dozen who are actively performing new music and world premieres. Yeah.
Fantastic. Give us all the information again and your websites, shows coming up. Go ahead, Nora.
NoraBarton.com.
You got that newsletter too, right?
And I do have a newsletter. You can sign up. It's just a monthly. Oh, gosh. Oh, no. Now I have to actually do it.
It's great, though.
Just a monthly little thing about shows that I got coming up and stuff. Classical Revolution Chicago at Jerry's Sandwiches in Wicker Park tomorrow night, Sunday, August 14th.
Where's that at? I don't even know.
Sorry. It's Division and Damon.
Okay.
I thought I knew the address by heart. I don't. Mukapatsa in Glen Ellen on August 30th at the Lakeside Pavilion at noon. Or if you're in Iowa City or Asheville, North Carolina, we're there on August 26th and 27th.
We were lucky to get you in tonight. You're busy.
Yes.
Yeah. Same thing for you, Billy. What you got coming up besides your marriage?
Well, my website is billyjeanhoward.com, and I'm playing at Constellation for a 3-on-3 series where three people who have never performed together get together and improvise. So it might be more of what you heard tonight. That's on August 24th. And then I'm also playing August 26th with Bobby Kahn. And then
where's that at?
Co-Prosperity Sphere.
And,
it's hard to say.
Bridgeport.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Aperiodic is playing in October at the Cultural Center.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having
really,
us.
Really, really a wonderful show tonight.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us. Nora Barton on cello, Billy Howard on violin.